And so when the global financial crisis finally reached Kenya, donors were pulling their funding. And so we started to think of a solution for people that wouldn't be reliant on handouts or aid, but would rather create employment. And a common statistic is that women tend to reinvest over 90% of their earnings back into their families and communities. And so we knew that we wanted to employ women.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today we have with us Kate Holby, co-founder of Agility, giving 100% of the profits to create opportunities for women and children. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Vidya.
When was Agility founded?
Yeah, so Agility was started almost 10 years ago, back in 2009.
And how old were you then?
So I was 19 years old when we started Agility, and my sister, Sarah, who's also the co-founder, was 21 years old at the time and living in Kenya.
So it's rather early for you to be thinking of starting a company, let alone just starting a company so far away from home in Africa. What prompted you and Sarah to start Agility?
Yeah, so I think that, starting a company like this when we are younger had certain advantages, right? So you want the ideal company, right? You want a company that reflects your idealism and optimism with the world at the time. But we started Agility really in reaction to events happening around us. So in 2009, as we remember, was the height of the global financial crisis.
Right.
And my sister, Sarah, at the time was volunteering for an NGO in Kenya that was handing out food and drugs to people with HIV and AIDS. And so when the global financial crisis finally reached Kenya, donors were pulling their funding. And so we started to think of a solution for people that wouldn't be reliant on handouts or aid, but would rather create employment. And a common statistic is that women tend to reinvest over 90% of their earnings back into their families and communities. And so we knew that we wanted to employ women. And so really a GRT company does three things. We create sustainable employment for women in rural Kenya. We source award-winning tea from small-scale farms in the same region of Western Kenya. And then we sell that tea here in the States and in Australia. And then we send 100% of our profits back to Kenya to pay school fees for orphans. So we are a for-profit company. So we're structured similarly to Newman's Own Company in that we're for-profit, but we donate 100% of our profits to our connected 501c3 Agiri Foundation.
Let's give the listeners a little bit visual of Kenya. Where exactly is Kenya located in Africa?
Yeah, so Kenya is in East Africa. And the area that we are working in is Western Kenya. So as if you're going out to Lake Victoria, past the Maasai Mara, we're working in an area called Kisii. So it's lush, rolling hills, beautiful, beautiful rolling hills. Everything grows in Kisii. It rains every day. It's really just a beautiful part of Kenya. And it also happens to be an area of Kenya with the largest HIV and AIDS rates in the country because it is such a major trucking route. And so that has left, of course, many orphans in the wake. And so, you know, part of what we do at AGRT is we also try and provide education for orphans to fill that need.
Talk about the tea. What are the different kinds of teas which are grown in Kisii?
Yeah, so the tea that grows in Kisii, and I can give you kind of a bit of a background of tea in Kenya because I find it quite interesting, is that tea was introduced by the British via India at the turn of the century. And so tea is actually one of Kenya's largest exports. And Kenya is one of the largest producers of black tea in the world.
Wow, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, and that black tea usually doesn't come to the States. It usually goes to the Middle East, where they like a stronger black tea, right? You know, both the U.S. haven't really developed a palate for quite strong black teas. You know, we're real coffee drinkers here. But Kenyans themselves also drink tea every day with milk and sugar, and they drink a black tea. And so the tea that we are buying is black tea. It's, you know, black tea and green tea come from the same plant. It's all how it's processed. Farmers in Kenya, we're sourcing it from a cooperative of 20,000 small-scale farmers who own, on average, a quarter acre to 2 acres of land. And so farmers are all hand-picking each 2 leaves in a bud. And this is kind of, you know, as you can imagine, a lot of work. And it's all grown organically, though we are not certified organic. That is a quite expensive certification to certify 20,000 small-scale farms. There are no natural pests to tea in Kenya, so our tea is all grown organically. And, you know, you can have a really strong mission, and our mission, as you know, is to create employment for women and to send orphans to school, but you also have to have a high-quality product to back up your mission. And we've been really lucky, or we haven't been lucky, in fact, it takes a lot of hard work, in that our black tea has won the best black tea 3 years in a row at the World Tea Expo. So we have a very high-quality product to back up our mission.
What makes it a high-quality product?
It's that the farmers are only picking those top 2 leaves in a bud, and there's very strict quality control within Kenya, within this cooperative in Kisii. And so you're not getting any of that tannic, bitter aftertaste as if a machine was coming along and picking, let's say, the 4 top 2 leaves in a bud or the stalk. So it's really a consistent, strong, smooth flavor. We like to say you can leave the tea bag in your cup, your mug, and it won't have that bitter aftertaste. It will only get stronger.
So what are the different types of tea? Is there like Pico tea? I know in Ceylon, they have the Pico tea.
Yeah, so this is really closest to an Assam, which was introduced, again, by the British at the turn of the century. And the processing of the tea is a CTC tea. So that means cut, tear, curl. And so it's a very fine and granular tea. So they're literally taking the leaf once it is dried, and they're cutting it, tearing it, and curling it. And so it's not a beautiful long leaf, whole leaf, orthodox tea that you might see in a specialty tea shop. It is really fine, and we sell it loose like that, and we also sell it in tea bags. And, you know, I don't think that our CTC tea, that cut, that tear, that curl, really affects the flavor. Really, it just gives it this strong, strong punch. And that's mainly because historically the way tea has been processed in Kenya. So leaning more towards the CTC process than the whole leaf orthodox process.
You said the Kenyans do drink teas. So is this tea which your cooperatives make, are they sold in the domestic market, or are they primarily for the export market and then the locals also drink some tea now that they've been introduced to it?
Great question. Kenyans drink tea every day, you know, and this tea particularly, or a tea similar, not perhaps from this cooperative, but from another cooperative. There are 60 of these cooperative type systems that are throughout Kenya. And so I know our students are having tea time every day in school. Our women's groups that we, you know, employ to make our packaging are drinking tea every day. Tea is very much a part of Kenyan culture.
You said the plantations were about a quarter an acre, half an acre plantation. So these are small farmers who grow it literally almost just their backyard. It's not that big. And then they hand pick these leaves, hand it over to the co-ops, and the co-ops, they process the teas, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tea processing is a more mechanized. It's not something that you can, it's at least in the present form, cannot be done by hand.
Yes, that's correct. And the farmers, you know, own a, like I like to say, you know, really not plantations at all, but a quarter acre to 2 acres of land. And there are larger tea estates or plantations in other parts of Kenya, Kericho being one of those regions. But, you know, this area of Kisii kind of, and the size in which I'm telling you, you know, really literally a quarter acre of land kind of speaks to some of the problems in the region, which is, you know, overpopulation. You know, what was once perhaps 6 years ago, 20 acres of land has been divided and divided and divided up amongst family members to now be a quarter acre of land. And that kind of also speaks to the levels of poverty within the region. And what we're trying to address with Ejiri, right, is that women provide farm labor, not just in tea, but in other crops as well. But in sub-Saharan Africa, women own less than 1% of the land. And, you know, land has a direct link to opportunity in rural regions, right? A direct link to money. And so with the GRT, you know, we're employing women, and the women that we have employed have gone on to buy land and buy livestock and use